grab some coffee, gonna have a bite while I listen to Justice and Drew. All right, gotta get caught up on what went on last night. That's why I'm sitting here waiting on Sam's Top 5. Well, it's the only show I listen to start my day. And every other show is way too boring anyway.
Tim John Waltz is throwing in the state on Mike, and Joe Biden doesn't know which way is left or right. Making sense of all this stuff is what I need, so I gotta tune in to John and Drew and Sam, not mine.
Carjackings each night, the city council is a fright. Justice and Drew's alright.
2 weeks to replace the temp bringing it this morning.
Yeah, Justice and Drew's alright.
That's how the song goes.
I do appreciate how we just sort of accepted the fate that Sam's in, like, all the intros, and eventually they'll change, but at the moment, it's like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now.
I'm working.
I know you.
I'm working on it.
I know you are.
I've rewritten several. They just haven't been produced yet.
And I'm here to say you're welcome, because I've been no help whatsoever in that regard.
Yeah, you've done absolutely
nothing. I've done nothing in that regard, so that's why I'm not complaining.
Feel free to draw attention to it.
There are no complaints. Well, you know, I always like to kind of call out the obvious, you know, as people will be listening and they're going, hey, Sam's name is still in there. I just like to go, yeah, you know what? We're aware. You're right. It's a cheat that I do. And I probably shouldn't say this for people that have read the books, but it's a cheat that I do in my books. Because if there is something like questionable happening within the story of the seven novels that I've written, typically I will spike in like some character dialogue that points it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, this is utterly ridiculous. Because, like, 'cause I'm writing, this is going utterly ridiculous. I'm just going to call it out right now. And
I think more content should do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
There's a lot of movies where the circumstances that got the characters, you know, from point A to point B to where they are now are absolutely ludicrous. But you don't pay attention to it because you're more focused on what's happening in that moment.
Right.
And you don't take the time to sort of reverse engineer. It's like, well, what were the decisions that led them to get here?
Exactly.
And usually when you do that, they make no sense. So right. I appreciate when, like, a movie or a TV show has some character who points that out and says, this is really dumb. Why are we here?
I probably do it too often in my books, to be honest with you. But I always, I chuckle. Like, I was I'm on the final read of book 7, which comes out on the 19th. And I gotta get that final read done so I can get everything posted. But I was reading through, and sure enough, there's a part of it where I haven't read it in a while. You know, I wrote it a while back, and I'm going, oh, this is kind of... Well, this is kind of out there. And I went, oh, yeah, I forgot. I put that person in there talking about how this was kind of out there. How very clever of me, while I pat myself on the back. Hey, your wild made it interesting.
Yeah.
No, man, no. No, 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 no. It's all intentional. They're drawing out the drama. It's all it was an intentional loss. They want this to go all the way down to the wire.
No.
It's all planned. It's all coordinated. It's all entertainment.
Waka waka.
I hope you're right.
Totally, totally what it is.
I had trouble sleeping.
Tim sounds so defeated.
I know, right?
I had trouble sleeping last night. That sucked.
No,
it was awful.
No. They're good. Well, you know, it's good entertainment, and people are watching. So they're doing the drama. So you don't worry about it.
So they got one more game here at Excel, right?
No.
That's it. They're done. The rest of the games are in St. Louis.
Yeah. No, neither are correct. If they go down and win in St. Louis on Thursday, then that game 7 would be back here.
Okay.
But they have to win.
One more game at Excel.
No.
Yeah.
Because if they lose...
Yeah, but they're not going to lose.
Right.
Oh, okay. Then in that case...
Because they lost intentionally. They lost intentionally last night so that they could win. When's the next game?
It's every other day.
Okay, so a day from today. So
Thursday will be game 6.
Tomorrow.
In St. Louis.
And correct. Then, so they can come back on Saturday.
7 here back in
and wrap St. it up.
Hall. Yeah.
And win the whole thing.
And they're going to win the whole thing, and Brett can be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all
we want. It's all rigged.
We just want Brett to be happy.
That's only what I want, really, with this series.
I don't really believe that, by the way. I'm just saying.
It makes the show better when we have a happy producer.
I know.
Yeah.
You're bumming me out right now, and I got plenty of reasons to be bummed out.
Really brought this first segment down, Brett.
Sorry. Hey, they brought me down last night, so.
If you like, we can go into open heart surgery talk. I don't know if you want to go that route. I'd rather not, though, either.
I'm just going to go home.
Yeah, I know. I'm not in the mood to talk about that at the moment, either. On the show today, we do have a Royce White, who will be joining us coming up at 8 o'clock with a campaign update. He has an event coming up in a couple weeks. Yeah. Right? Yeah, not this weekend, but next weekend, I believe.
He'll tell us all about it. He'll give us at 8 o'clock this morning.
He'll give us some details. Carjackings are on the decline. Not sure why. We'll get into that story right around 7:35. A little bit of a nonprofit food delivery news. We have a further details from the Alpha News investigation into the Feeding Our Future scandal. Also, subsequently, a nonprofit food delivery service had their catalytic converters stolen.
Oh, good.
So we'll get into that right around 7:20 this morning.
Fantastic.
So, around the room, Drew, what do you say your average amount of sleep at night is at the moment?
Man. Lately, not much at all.
Yeah.
Probably on average, I'd say about 6 hours.
Okay.
Between 5 and 6.
Brett, what about you?
These last 3 weeks, maybe 5 if I'm lucky.
All right. Well, according to a new study, okay, the optimum amount of sleep is not too much and not too little. It's at least in the middle and old age. New research has found that around 7 hours of sleep is the ideal night's rest, with insufficient and excessive sleep associated with reduced ability to pay attention, remember and learn new things, solve problems, and make decisions. So they say the 7 hours
I can relate to all of those things.
Yeah.
I can relate to all of those.
It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's tough to do this, particularly this shift, and not be somewhat sleep deprived. It's just really difficult.
Right.
You know, we do our best, and I try to make up for sleep here and there, but that's typically, it's not how it works. Like, if you only get 5 hours of sleep and then you take a 2-hour nap, that doesn't really count.
No.
As the 7 hours of sleep, it's pretty much got to be consecutive.
Well, we've done the stories before where they argued, and I don't have the details in front of me, where they've argued that you can't technically, like, catch up on sleep.
Right.
You know, this. I'll sleep an hour and then I'll just catch up. No, doesn't really work. It doesn't really work that way.
No, that's not how your body uses sleep.
7 hours of slumber was also found to be linked with better mental health, with people experiencing more symptoms of anxiety and depression and worse overall well-being if they reported sleeping for longer or shorter stints. Jian Fengfeng, a professor at China's Fudan University, author of the study, said in a statement, "But the reasons why older people have poorer sleep appear to be complex, influenced by a combination of our genetic makeup and the structure of our brains." Man, there's so many things that go into it, though. I'm a creature of routine, and if I'm out of my routine, or I miss my sleep, I call it my sleep flight. Like, if I'm not asleep at a certain time, and I miss my sleep flight, then, you know, then I'm not catching another flight for a day because I just can't fall back asleep again.
Yeah, it's the tough. Worst. It's tough. The worst thing that can happen is, you know, we go to sleep at our normal time, which for me is usually between 7 and 8, and then you wake up at like 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens to me pretty frequently, more frequently in recent days than usual. But, you know, I'll wake up between like 10:30 and midnight, somewhere in there, and I've gotten just enough sleep. You know, I've gotten about 3 to 4 hours or so to where I feel rested. Makes it incredibly hard to go back to sleep. And most of the time when that happens, I never really fully get back to sleep. I'll just lay in bed, you know, and drift in and out, you know, a little bit here and there until my alarms go off at 2:30.
And
that's the worst. I mean, that screws me up for the whole day. I come into the show tired. I leave the show tired. I will usually end up taking a nap, which I don't like to do during the week. And then that keeps me up. It just screws up my whole week when that happens.
The weekends are the hard ones for me because I'm so used to getting up. My body naturally wakes up at least at 3 o'clock. So now I've taken to having to actually get up, turn a light on, do a little something.
Right.
And then go back to sleep again on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. But again, we're the anomalies
because our schedules are weird, and unusual, and probably unhealthy.
Well, I must have had 8 different phone calls yesterday with as many assistants and nurses, you know, pre-scheduling all my surgery stuff. And it always comes into play when trying to schedule things out. It always has to be I have a really early morning schedule. so I can be here, you know, basically right after you guys open, if you want me to. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. If you want to use the talkback feature, we encourage you to do so on the iHeart Radio app. You can let us know your sleep habits. Another item on this coming up, we'll run through some of your headlines today, the gas prices and rent increasing nationwide. But along the same lines, interesting piece out of Science Alert talking about being sleep deprived actually changes the way we see other people. What's fascinating about it, and we'll get into it next, is that this particular study should not have been about this. It should have been about something else, and we'll tell you what it is next.
Justice and Drew.
Hey, careful. You're upsetting the PC baby.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
We are getting some good weather now, and I know for me that means plenty of time outside, working in the yard, going on walks with the family, things like that. But if you've got pain in your life, specifically foot pain, back pain, knee pain.
Since it's 25 cents a gallon. I haven't gotten a response. Is there any reason why he couldn't do that?
No.
No, there's no good reason.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe somebody can you leave us a talk back on the iHeartRadio app or drop us an email, jd@twincitiesnewstalk.com, if there is a good reason, but there isn't one that I'm aware of.
Well, we'll talk.
It's a pass the buck. It's a Tim Walz. Those bad guys up at the federal level, they just won't suspend the gas tax and give some relief to Minnesotans. Meanwhile, he could do the exact same thing.
We'll talk a little bit more about Walz coming up at 8 o'clock. But, you know, he was out in public, you know, endorsing ranked choice voting. So
What the hell is he thinking?
You could ask him while he's out there. He's not thinking. He's a DFL. They don't think. That's not part of what they do. We know that.
They didn't sign up for that.
On Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk.
And it makes more sense to suspend the state gas tax. The state has a $10 billion surplus.
Yep.
Of all the levels of government that could withstand suspending some taxes, it would be the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
But no.
Of course not.
Now, I watched gas prices in Delano. They were $4.09 when I left for work yesterday.
No.
They were $4.26 when I got home from work yesterday. And then they were back down to $4.09 again today, except for a couple were still up at like $4.24. I don't know what's going on.
The average cost of a retail gallon of gas right now hit $4.37 early on Tuesday, according to AAA, surpassing the former record of $4.30.
Yeah, we're basically doing this story once a week now.
Yeah.
As gas prices hit a new record.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, $4.37 is this week's record.
Let's go and talk with Jason in Fridley. Wants to talk a little sleep. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Good morning. So I work a pure overnight midnight to 8 a.m. schedule, which means I sleep from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Imagine never having evenings. Can't change it on weekends either, because otherwise it just really messes up your Mondays.
Yes. Yeah, man. My dad worked for a power company in Southern California for a long, long time. And he would have to work these rotating shifts. And I'll never forget as a kid growing up and him working the graveyard shift and how, you know, you had to be quiet around the house. The door was closed in the back and it was all quiet so he could, I feel his pain because I got to go to, you know, sleep early now, and I'm on the lowest floor, so everything gets loud upstairs as well. But thankfully, my family, for the most part, is pretty good about it, and I've learned to block it out.
When I first started in radio, I was doing weekend overnights. So it would I worked a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an office job Monday through Friday, but then Friday at midnight to 6 a.m. Saturday, and then Saturday midnight, 6 a.m. Sunday, and then back to the 9-to-5 Monday through Friday. That was brutal. That was brutal. It didn't last very long. I couldn't do that schedule for a super long time, but that was basically how I got my start in radio.
Yeah, went through something very, very similar, working during the week on a morning show and then driving about 7 hours into the middle portion of California to do an overnight shift and a day shift at a hot AC station. And look at where we are today.
And look, yes, exactly.
Look at this.
The fruits of our labor.
Pretty much. Yeah, we're not Tom Brady. Tom Brady's just sliding in. Just sliding into an announcer role once he retires at Fox News. Not paying any dues. Scientists continue to discover ways in which the lack of sleep actually affects our mental and physical health. Now a new study reveals that a serious lack of shut-eye can even influence the way we see other people. This should have been on something else. I'll get to that in a moment. When we've gone without sleep, we spend less time fixing our gaze on other people's faces, according to the study. As that's a crucial part of reading social cues from those around us, our relationships could potentially suffer. What's more, after sleep loss, angry faces appear to us to be less trustworthy and less healthy, while neutral or fearful faces come across as less attractive compared to when we've had a full night's sleep. The application of the study, though, shouldn't be about sleep deprivation. It should be about masks. When you consider, well, consider the logic here. The logic is if you're not getting enough sleep, your gaze is down, you're not looking at people's faces. If you're not looking at people's faces, this is causing you, like here, it says, since facial expressions are crucial to understanding the emotional state of others, spending less time fixating on faces after acute sleep loss may increase the risk that you interpret the emotional state of others inaccurately or too late. Take that and apply it to all the mask wearing that we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And take that and apply it to all the mask wearing we had to do in all of the different circumstances where things like seeing the face of another individual is really, really important. And I, again, I'll speak for myself in the medical field. I hate the fact that I have to go see nurses or doctors and I can't see their faces. It's flat out wrong because you need to have that human interaction. And with that, with the mask there, you don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're missing out on potentially important cues.
Yeah, yeah. The study authors recruited 45 participants who went through a night without sleep, and another with only 8 hours of slumber They were separated by at least a week. In each case, the eye tracking sensors were used in the morning to monitor the gaze of subjects as they looked at images of faces. A mix of expressions were shown on the faces, happy, angry, fearful, neutral. Participants were also asked to rate attractiveness, trustworthiness, worthiness, and healthiness of the faces they saw. When it came to face fixation, there was a drop in duration between 6.3 and 10.6% after sleep loss. And this drop happened irrespective of the emotion being shown. Overall, faces were rated as less trustworthy and less attractive after a night without sleep. And again, I just have to imagine that any reveals in this study related to this phenomenon and sleep would be much, much worse when you take the same concept and apply it to all the mask wearing that took place.
Yeah, at least a social withdrawal.
Yeah.
That's the concern in the study, is if you have chronic sleep deprivation over the course of, you know, if that's just part of your life, like me and John, it could lead to withdrawing yourself from social activities. And that's something, you know, the more that I've done this shift and the longer that I've worked this shift, that is a phenomenon that I've noticed. I've never really associated it with sleep deprivation. But, you know, your motivation to go out and you know, go do a social activity, like for me during the week, you know, if somebody invites me to something, say on a Tuesday night, that's really difficult for me to get on board with, because just because I know how my schedule is and I know how difficult it makes it. But I'm wondering now if that's just a result of, you know, a long time, you know, several years of at least slight sleep deprivation being a normal part of my schedule and routine.
Yeah.
Would that change if my schedule changed?
651-989-5855 if you want to comment, or you can leave a talk back on the iHeartRadio app. We'll play those back a little bit later on. One more slightly related one we'll dive into as we get through some more of your headlines, including an article titled Just the End of Dinner. We'll explain. Plus, a California DA has declined charges for Mike Tyson after allegedly punching the airline passenger. We'll give you details next here on Justice and Drew.
You're listening to Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
From the Blue Ox Heating and Air Traffic Center, I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look at the roads. This report is sponsored by Dairy Queen. Still accident-free out there this morning. No big problems out there right now. We do have a couple of stalls heading into downtown Minneapolis for North 30.
And not give those people a tax break at all costs.
You're fascinating to talk to.
That was a joke, right? That was somebody that was pretending to be a liberal, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. You know, I never know these days.
Pretty sure.
That could have we live in Minnesota. That could have been a legitimate liberal who actually believes that because they're that dumb.
We have no way of knowing who sends in the talkbacks. That could have been Tim Walz himself. I don't know. I mean, we don't really have any way to identify them. So, but no, I think that sounded, you know, like a good friend of the show.
Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM.
Keep them coming.
Every time I watch, and it's not that often, but every time I watch The Phantom Menace, when I get to 6:36.
I'm sorry.
The head Gungan in the beginning, when they go down to the Gungan city, right? I always think of Tim Walz. I always
6:36.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. I like study finds quite a bit.
Mm.
Eating primarily during the day instead of at night could be the key to a longer life, according to new research. This was done at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. It's not just about what you consume, but when. Their study finds that cutting down on fatty and sugary foods and having meals at the right time increased longevity in mice by 35%. Experiments found the body clock's daily rhythms play a big part in the benefits of a healthy diet. Rodents are nocturnal animals that are most active in the dark. Meanwhile, humans are generally livelier during the day. So with that in mind, the study's authors say people should restrict their dining to the most active hours of the day. In lab animals, and they were tracked over 4 years, a reduced calorie diet alone extended the survival rate by 10%. However, the improvement increased significantly with an exclusive nighttime feeding schedule. So the combination tacked on an extra 9 months to their typical 2-year average lifespan. So the lead author says a similar plan for people who would restrict eating to daytime hours could actually have a similar benefit. It kind of, though, living in the Midwest, there's kind of a rub there because it throws this whole thing off based off of how, you know, the sun stays up so late.
Daytime hours go till 10 p.m. soon.
Yeah, so
yeah, sure.
In which case,
I'll restrict my eating to then.
Oh, 10 p.m. Sun's gone down. Guess I can't eat anymore.
Now, I think the people that have it right when it comes to food, and I'm certainly not one of them, so don't take any advice that I give when it comes to eating. But I feel like the people that have it right are the people that treat food more like fuel.
Yep.
And less like, you know, yep, something they get joy from.
Yep.
You know, and they're less like something like they don't worry about cravings and, oh, I haven't had pizza in a week. It's time to have pizza. Or, boy, I'd really, you know, the little things like that. And they just treat food like fuel and they consume it appropriately, you know, and a certain number of calories, making sure you're getting the right vitamins and nutrients and things like that, and treating it, you know, just like it's the fuel for your body.
Documentary once that I never took to heart, but I always remembered it and I thought it was fascinating. And it was talking just about how the human body was designed to function efficiently with an actual minimal amount of food, a lot less than what we take in. And I'm not an expert, but just sort of, you know, looking at, we talk a lot about social media, dopamine, the dopamine hits you get from social media. The same thing rings true for food as well. You get dopamine from food. And I think to what you're saying, there are some people that serve that need for the dopamine and get used to it. I know that I am. I mean, by snacking and comfort foods and things like this, as opposed to, yep, like you said, other people that just treat it like it's just a necessity in life and they're able to have smaller, healthier meals, smaller portions,
yeah, healthier portions. Yep, exactly. And eating them at the right times of day. You know, not gorging on a bag of Doritos 15 minutes before you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not having to like hide food. Not that I hide food. I'm not saying that I do, especially like on the weekends to make sure the wife doesn't hear me crunching. And the okay, we should move on.
Yeah,
I gotta say the resemblance.
Are you a food hoarder?
The resemblance to this Gungan is uncanny. Yeah. Rugor Nass is the guy's
boss,
name.
Yeah, Boss Nass.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boss, yep. Boss Nass. He's an avatar to Governor Tim Walz.
It's Boss Ass.
And we're out, everybody. Have a great morning. Silence from here on out unless Brett wants to talk wild.
Wow. Three-hour wine line.
As federal and state COVID protections for renters end or phase out, the Minnesota Renter Hotline home line has never been busier. Executive Director Eric Hogg said that calls have increased 71% through the first 4 months of 2022, mostly having to do with evictions. People are calling us about threats of eviction, concerns about evictions, pending eviction filings. that effectively it's like having an entire other hotline on top of the hotline we had last year. Well, yeah, because they extended those, you know, eviction moratoriums for far too long, and it was going to end eventually, and people who took advantage of those moratoriums should have planned better.
Everybody knew it was going to have to end at some point, right?
Yep. While the reasons for the evictions are different from case to case, there's no doubt that people across the country are paying more for rent these days. According to the real estate firm Redfin, average monthly listed rents increased by 14% last year nationwide. The largest annual jump, at least the largest annual jump since at least February 2019. Redfin reported a year-to-year increase of 9% for Minneapolis from 2021, from 2020 to 21. Far from the largest jump in the U.S., but still not insignificant.
I was told that if you elect DFLers, you will get affordable housing. I was told. Yeah. I was told that Jacob Fry was going to bring affordable housing to Minneapolis. I was told that the DFL party was going to make sure that there was affordable housing for all. What's their excuse?
They don't have
anyone.
They don't have one. That's their excuse. That's their excuse. This is totally true, though. I mean, we have to move sometime between now and next August, so we got plenty of time. And so we're watching. We've talked about this recently. You know, we're keeping an eye on them, on the rentals. I've got the email alerts that come up, and they're absolutely correct, especially when you go in and you look at the listings. And some of the sites, I think Zillow does it, when they get into looking at a particular home and they give you the details, there actually is like a year-by-year breakdown of the housing value on top of actually how the rent has changed. And it's
amazing.
It's incredible and sad and depressing when you look at the fact that one home that you were looking at, you know, a year ago was maybe like $1,900 to rent, and now it's more like $2,500 to rent, and that's a significant jump.
Yeah, well, I saw we talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think. The median home price in the United States has surpassed $400,000.
Yeah.
The median home price in the entire United States has surpassed $400,000. That is out of most people's price range.
Yep.
That is well outside of most people's price range when it comes to purchasing a home. And those home prices, rent prices, are directly tied to home prices.
Mm-hmm.
They're directly tied to real estate market prices.
Somebody owns those homes.
Exactly. Somebody's paying a mortgage on that home that you live in, or that apartment that you live in, or that condo that you live in. Somebody owns it. Somebody's paying the taxes on it. Somebody's paying the mortgage on it. And every bit of those, every penny of that is embedded into your rent cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the cost of maintenance, plus the cost of having to, you know, show up and call a plumber in the middle of the night to fix your clogged toilet. All of those things are paid for by the landlord, and they are embedded into your rent costs. So the more all of those things get more expensive, your rent is going to go up. And if you're going to sit there and act like that's not fair, that's not how you, that shouldn't happen. What are you, how selfish are you?
Yeah, what are you?
How many other people do you think should pay for the place you live?
What did you expect was going to happen? Everybody is affected by what's happening. Right. And the bubble
is supposed to be responsible to subsidize the roof over your head.
The economic bubbles are starting to burst too, especially in the tech industry. The tech industry bubbles are bursting left and right now. There was a story, I think it was Amazon has already lost all of the gains that they got over the course of the pandemic. Like all of your entertainment out there, you know, all the entities that were able to take advantage of people being at home during, you know, lockdowns and working from home and all that, all those gains are now suddenly being wiped out. So the economic bubbles are starting to burst. And the housing market is the one that everybody's really worried about, because it hasn't happened yet, but a lot of people are predicting that there is going to be another housing bubble burst.
I think we're a couple years away still. I'm that's just my speculation. I'm not an expert, so don't anybody go run and adjust your 401k based on what I say. But I do think we're probably a couple of years away. But the longer it takes before it happens, the more painful it is eventually going to be, and it is going to be ugly. And this is, look, I mean, I hate to say it, I hate to make it sound like it's, you know, a partisan thing, but this is what happens when Democrats are in charge. And it happens every single time.
Yep.
You know, you'd think we'd learn eventually. All Democrats know how to do is take. They take from the private sector. They take from private businesses. They confiscate and they extract wealth and value out of everything.
Well, and we had this for way later in the show, but it actually, we'll go ahead and play it here. There's an article here from Based Politics. Today is a day that ends in Y, so White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki is gaslighting the public again. This time, President Biden's top spokesperson was attempting to explain away the 8.5% inflation, a major political liability for this administration, when she made the dishonest mishaps. And here is what she had to say.
We know, if we look at the recent inflation data, depending on which data you look at, 2/3 to even 70% of inflation data is a result of energy prices. A large part of that is the result, and Chairman Powell has spoken to this, and Secretary Yellen has also spoken to this, as a result of President Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the impact on the global energy markets. Those are all steps and impacts that I don't think anyone could have predicted a year ago.
The article goes on to say, this part of Psaki's speech, I don't think anyone could have predicted it a year ago, is straight up false.
Yep. For one thing, inflation remains at 6.5% even when gas prices are factored out entirely. So the 70% number that she keeps parroting is simply not accurate. And while Putin's horrific invasion of Ukraine has indeed disrupted global energy markets and led to higher gas prices over the last few months, gas prices were already rising over the last year, and inflation began all the way back in May 2021.
The press secretary went on to conclude that because today's inflation is supposedly driven by Putin's invasion, I don't think anybody could have predicted it a year ago, and that was the most ridiculous part of Psaki's entire remarks.
Countless free market advocates warn that the federal government's decision to print trillions of new dollars and run up multi-trillion dollar budget deficits would fuel inflation. For example, here's what former Congressman Justin Amash tweeted all the way back in March of 2020. Economics is about life and death. Resources to sustain life don't come from a government printing press. They come from productive activity.
He went on, he said, I support cash relief to address the current shock, but continually infusing cash into an idle economy will primarily cause inflation.
It's one of the most basic economic principles that people, you know, if you infuse cash into the economy, it's going to make prices go up. Every single time. It's like economy 101. And now they act like, oh, who could have seen this coming?
I know, it's just shocking. Wasn't expecting this at all.
All we did was infuse cash into the economy for 2 straight years.
Even liberal-leaning economists like ex-Obama official Larry Summers warned time and time again that the reckless policies are being pushed over the last 2 years would lead to inflation. President Biden had members of his own party warning him, and he still doubled down on the same failed approach. It's kind of unfair to say that because it wasn't Biden. I mean, Biden was parroting whatever people were telling him to go and say. He's still responsible. He's still the president. But make no mistake, those ideas were not coming directly from him.
Yep. And if we're going to be even more fair, you know, it's not like the Trump administration didn't push billions into the economy either. No. I mean, this was when the pandemic started and everybody decided that, hey, let's just hole up in our houses and not do anything and not be productive and try to shut down the economy. You know, that's when everybody started flooding cash in, and we all knew this was going to happen.
Speaking of Trump, Elon Musk says he would allow Trump back on Twitter. He said this on Tuesday, that he would reverse Twitter's ban on the former president, Donald Trump, if he becomes the social media giant's owner. I don't even know where it is anymore. We can go back to playing the Trump tweets.
I'm gonna find it.
It's been so long.
I know, I might have gotten rid of it.
The Tesla CEO said he believes a Twitter made a mistake by banning the Republican who routinely used the website to enable hate, encourage violence, and push lies, according to the Huffington Post. That's what the Huffington Post wrote. The Tesla CEO believes a Twitter made a mistake in banning the Republican who routinely used the website to enable hate, encourage violence, and push lies, according to the Huffington Post.
That's like every day on Twitter.
That's all of Twitter.
Yeah. That's most of the fans of the show on Twitter.
Just look at the hashtag TCNT on Twitter.
if that's what you think Twitter needs to be policing, there's going to be like 2 accounts left.
Yeah.
You're going to be down to like me and Brett.
By the way, are you ready?
Hey!
I think I found it.
But thanks. Who's that?
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now?
Oh, shit.
be nothing but Wordle results on Twitter all day.
That's fantastic. You know what's going to happen now? It's going to be, you know, the Drew portion of Justice and Drew admits that John spreads hate and causes violence. 651-989-5855. Use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. We'll play those back coming up. We will give you, briefly, interesting, the California DA declines charges for Mike Tyson after allegedly punching an airline passenger. Also, ask the question, would you consume ketchup from a paper bottle?
Justice and Drew.
It's original. I'll give you that.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. From the Chris Lindahl Real Estate Studios.
Here is your Fox News update.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu.